What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we are doing your pick of the month. And it's our second last movie in Asia.
Okay, it is.
Like Chit. Do you watch Chit? Do you watch the Chit show?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, good, good. But anyways, yeah, we're doing the cure, not the cure. We're doing Cure from 1997.
Yes, not the band.
No, not the band. I'd never heard of this movie before. So obviously first time watch for me, first time watch for you. And what made you pick it?
It's been on my watch list for a while, and I really liked we did his other movie, Kiyoshi Kurosawa. We did Pulse,
Pulse, yeah.
fuck, I don't know, last year maybe? I don't know.
Oh man, no, that was like that had to have been 2 years ago. Japanuary?
Jesus
Yeah,
Christ.
that was at least 2 years ago.
That's
Would
crazy.
have been
And
three.
yeah, this was on the Criterion Channel, and remember, like a month ago, I was like, or 2 months ago, I started watching and I was like, wait, I just fucking picked this for the podcast. So yeah.
I wish I knew it was on Criterion. I found out after.
Oh.
I rented it. It was only $4, but
Okay, that's not bad.
yeah, it would have been a lot cooler to get it for free. But
Yeah.
because I have a Roku, right? So like on the main page on Roku, you can search for a movie, but it didn't come up as Criterion, and I didn't think to check Letterboxd, which was stupid of me. And
Yeah.
yeah, oh well.
Oh well.
But yeah, anyways, we'll kick off our news and booze. And what are you drinking tonight?
It's a little late, but I'm drinking a Ryan Ginger, so.
Nice. All right. I have successfully completed my month-long zero carb diet, so I'm
Hell yeah.
celebrating with a three carb Michelob Ultra tonight.
Hell yeah.
I told Sarah, like, because I feel fantastic, man. And I said, like, I think I want to keep it up, but I think I'm going to just do keto and like stick to under 20 grams of carbs a day.
Yeah.
Because the whole zero carb thing, it was getting pretty stale.
Yeah, that's yeah.
It's fucking brutal, man. But yeah, anyways, I digress. What's your last four watched movies?
Only four, so been pretty busy lately. Continued with Hooptober. Watched King Kong from 1933. This is first time watching it, and again, like, just thoroughly impressed with just what they can do. Like, this movie's like 92 years old, and like, I was kind of blown away, honestly. Like, just the claymation and like the special effects, and it's just incredible, man.
It's wild that it's almost 100 years old.
Yeah, good stuff. Then we had a draft, a late football draft. So I threw on Blade Runner. It's been a while since I've seen it. I don't really think I've seen it all the way through, to be honest.
No, really.
Yeah, good movie. Again, like another one where it's like this movie feels like way ahead of its time, like just crazy. Then I rewatched K-Pop Demon Hunters again. Just amazing movie. It's just so fun. And then yesterday and today I watched The Matrix Reloaded. Just kind of saw it on Crave and I was like, I haven't seen this in forever. And I don't know how I feel about it, honestly. Like
Yeah, I remember it not being great.
people love this movie, but like maybe it's just because I don't think it really ages that well. Like some of the CGI in this is like wah. And like, yeah, it's silly. Like the action scenes are like iconic. Like the park fight against the Mr. Smith. But yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna watch Matrix Revolutions or whatever it's called, and then I haven't seen the newest one that came out a few years ago.
Yeah, I
So,
haven't seen that one either, actually.
but yeah, that's pretty much it.
Did you ever play the video game back in the day, like The Rise of Neo or The Path of Neo or something like
No, I
that?
didn't. No.
Man, it was such a fun game.
Was it?
Yeah.
No.
I also only watched four. For Hooptober, I did The Breed. I think I already talked about that last week, so I guess I've only
You
watched
did, yeah.
three. I've only watched three. Night of the Zoopocalypse, me and the boys watched it on the weekend. And
Okay.
then I finally finished Sinners after starting it like months ago.
Nice.
Dude, it's as of right now, it's my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
It's so
Yeah.
fucking good.
Yeah.
Like it finished and I was like, I want to rewatch it right now.
Did you log it twice?
Oh shit, yeah. No, by accident, apparently.
Yeah.
I think it's because I wrote a review.
Oh, okay.
Your activity. It's only showing it once. That's
Weird.
weird.
Yeah, it's, I want to rewatch it because I didn't even know there was a fucking mid-credit scene or after-credit scene. I heard that scene is like incredible. I'm
Oh,
like,
yeah.
what the fuck, man? Like, you need to rewatch it again. So,
Yeah, you gotta watch it.
yeah.
And then for another Hooptober movie, last night I watched 1932's Vampire.
Okay,
And
nice.
that was my movie that, because you had to pick a movie from 1932. So that's the one that I
Yeah.
chose.
Nice.
I mean, I can respect it, but it's not great.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
almost could have used it for a silent film too, but there is very small amounts of dialogue in it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I've been busy too. And I think I told you last week I started playing No Man's Sky again, and I've just
Oh,
been
yeah.
fucking so obsessed with it, dude. Like, it's not even funny. It's just like I go to work and I do some work and then I watch videos on it on YouTube and like hints and tips, and then I come
Yeah.
home and then I play it and it's like it's just fucking rinse and repeat. But Borderlands 4 is coming out tomorrow, so I imagine No Man's Sky is gonna get put on the back burner for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Nice.
All right, as for our news, a couple things. Marlon Wayans has named seven horror movies that are going to be spoofed in Scary Movie 6.
I don't know if I want to know.
Okay, I'll keep it quiet then.
Like,
There has been seven that are released now, though.
okay.
But I'll keep it quiet.
Are they like obviously popular movies,
Oh,
like
yeah.
new age horror movies?
A good mix.
Okay.
A good mix.
Yeah, I
Some
think.
they've already done before.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of they're tying the story in, right? From the other movies, so they kind of have to, yeah.
Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein has gotten a pretty good review from TIFF, which just happened this past weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's why he was there, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited for that. And I also saw earlier today that Stephen King's Fairy Tale, the book, it's getting made into a TV show.
You know that, yeah.
It could be, it's a good one, I think. That's a good choice.
I think it's yeah, it's a good choice for a TV show. And speaking of Stephen King, The Long Walk is getting very good reviews so far.
I have seen that. I still have to read the book.
Yeah,
I
me
have it
too.
sitting on my shelf. I just haven't got to
I think I have it too.
it.
But yeah.
Cool. All right, do we have any 4Ks?
Yes, sir. So we got Elio. Still look pretty cool. Jurassic World Rebirth,
Nice.
which I don't know. I guess I'm kind of excited to see, but not really. I
Oh, I'm excited to see it. It's probably gonna be
don't
shit,
know.
but
Yeah. Jurassic World 7 movie collection.
shit.
Ballerina from the world of John Wick.
Nice. Pause for a sec. I saw that you watched it, but it was out of your last four on our
Ah,
last episode.
yes.
What
Yeah.
did you like it? It was good.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah,
I liked it.
nice. I have it rented. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, like the first like 40 minutes I was like kind of unsure, like I didn't know how I felt about Ana de Armas
Okay.
being like she wasn't doing much action and like and then like yeah, I kind of got into the story and I really liked it a lot actually.
Okay,
Think it's in
cool.
my top 10 so far this year.
Oh, nice. Fucking three different versions of it.
And yeah, I don't even know why they have John Wick and them on the cover because they're in it for like literally like 5 minutes maybe.
Oh, really? Ah,
Yeah.
marketing, right?
Yeah. The Dark Knight Trilogy Library Case Steelbook.
That's fucking cool.
That is Kung Fu Panda 2. Coal Miner's Daughter. Ouija or Ouija.
And it's a sick
That's
steelbook.
cool. High and Low on Criterion, which I'm guessing because Highest to Lowest just came out, which is a remake.
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah, Denzel, Spike Lee movie with Denzel.
Okay, shit.
Yeah.
I saw it's Akira Kurosawa that does it. Neat. That's a pretty good list for the
It
week.
is.
All right. If we don't have anything else, let's dive into this movie.
Let's do it.
So we're not recording until midnight tonight.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Glad Cyril's Friday.
that's true. All right, like I said in the intro this week, we are talking about Cure from 1997. Taking it back to Japan. Starting off the synopsis, a frustrated detective deals with the case of several gruesome murders committed by people who have no recollection of what they've done. Very ominous. This was directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, who, like you mentioned earlier, did Pulse, which is a movie that we covered way back when. Excuse me. He also did Tokyo Sonata and Ghost Cop. I haven't seen any of his movies other than this one and Pulse now, but
Yeah, me too.
I mean, he's a pretty well-regarded director, so
Yeah.
wouldn't hurt to watch some of his other movies. As for the cast, we have Koji Yakusho playing Detective Takabi. Masato Hagiwara plays Kunio Mamiya. Tsuyoshi Yujiki plays Dr. Makoto Sakuma. And Anna Nakagawa plays Fumi Takabi. Dude, we need to keep doing these Japanese movies because I feel like I'm getting much better with the names.
Yeah, it's true.
A couple years ago, I would have been fucking tripping over my words. I don't have any honorable mentions. I don't know if you do or not,
Dab
though.
either. Yeah, I don't even know any of these people from anything.
Oh, we know Koji.
Who?
Koji Yakusho.
Do we?
Yeah.
Who's he in?
Let me pull it up.
I didn't see anything from like his
I swear I've seen him
first
in
few
shit.
movies. He looks familiar, like.
He was in Babel.
I haven't seen that.
I swear I've seen him.
Oh, he was in Memoirs of a Geisha. I've never seen that movie.
That's actually, I just put that on my watch list because it's on Netflix now.
Oh, it has been on my watch list too.
Yeah. He
Oh,
said 13
he was in
Assassins.
Pulse
Okay, makes sense.
as a ship captain. So I don't know. Maybe it was a small role,
Yeah, I
but.
don't know. I swear I've seen him before. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways,
Anyway.
moving on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dive into this movie discussion.
Two. Yeah. So Cure from 1997. I really had no idea what this movie was about going into it. Like I just knew like the synopsis and it's always on people's videos of like, I don't know, top 10.
It's on the IMDb top 250 or Letterboxd top 250, I think.
Is it?
Yeah,
Okay.
it's on
Okay.
one of them. Yeah.
So I really had no idea what I was getting into. Like, it's a psychological thriller horror. It reminded me very much of Memories of Murder a little bit. So yeah. Anyway, so movie opens up. There's a girl in a hospital. She is re reading Bluebeard to this kind of doctor guy, and he don't really, know the backstory of it. And yeah, pretty much it. But it opens up back to her later on in the movie, and I didn't even realize until the end of the movie that that was Takabi's wife.
I think there's one scene where we see him bringing her there, and then that was the
Yeah,
only
that's
time that
like
it
near
clicked.
the end, and I was like, even when I met her like in the house, and I was like, didn't even like put two and two together. And so it just cuts to this guy walking this dark tunnel, and like there's like this upbeat music, like kind of feel good music, and grabs a pipe off the wall, and he's, I don't know if it's his wife or prostitute or what, but he just beats the fuck out of this girl,
It's
kills
fucking
her.
happened out of nowhere too. Like he's just walking around this room and then all of a sudden he turns around and bashes her over the head with this thing. I have a problem with the next scene after too.
What?
Who the fuck showers with the shower curtain on the outside of the bathtub?
It's true.
There's water and blood getting all over that bathroom.
Well, he wasn't in the right mindset, man. Like,
Well, I guess that's his only defense.
Yeah, but yeah, a ton of blood in there. So this is where we meet Takabi. He is a detective. He comes in, they're kind of looking around, and they notice in the bathroom that there's just these clothes neatly folded up, and then they see this guy's wallet and the knife in the sink, and they see that it's possibly the killer's clothes, and his name, the guy named Kuano or something like that. And then it cuts to the girl on the bed, and she has this like giant X like on like the bottom of her throat area, and just blood everywhere. And the coroner, not the coroner, but the CSI says like both her arteries were like neatly severed. And you're like, okay, what the fuck is going on? And then like Takabe is like in the hallway, and he just sees like this little like, I don't know, like cubby thing, I don't know, opens up, and there's just the naked guy in like this crawl space thing. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? And they're kind of like don't know what to do with this guy. So he meets Sukuma, who is like a doctor kind of guy, like a psychologist, I think, maybe.
Yeah, he's a forensic psychologist.
Okay. And they're requesting that this guy see a psychiatrist. And so Tagabe and Sukuma, like this whole movie, they're trying to figure out why these people are doing it. The people who are doing the murders, I think up to this point there's like I think five people or maybe five or six people who this has happened to. They're all normal people. They have nothing wrong with them. All had normal lives, and they don't remember anything. They kind of blank out, and they don't know really what the fuck's going on.
Do when we don't learn until a little bit later that they've all come into contact with Kunio, though, right? Like, do we learn that right away?
Do you mean Mamiya?
Yeah, Kunio Mamiya.
Oh, okay, yeah, not till the very like the end of the movie, I think. But yeah, so they're kind of doing their investigating, and then we cut to just a guy on a beach. He's kind of reading or doing something, and then he's kind of chilling, and he camera cuts over, and there's just a guy standing there, maybe like I don't know, 80 feet away, in like this weird like sweater thing, just like kind of staring. And This scene, I love this scene so much. I think it's beautifully shot, and this movie isn't like, not to give away my scare rating, but this movie isn't scary. It's very unsettling.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Because like this scene, especially like the guy sitting on the beach and sees this weird guy over there. You're like, okay, what the fuck's going on? You're like, is he like a killer or something? And he like walks over and he's talking to the guy. He's like, where are we? And the guy that's sitting down says, oh, we're on Sheerisota Beach. And then the guy says, where are we? And he's like, oh, like Sheerisota Beach. Where's that? And Chiba. And then he goes back to his thing and the guy's like, where are we? The guy's like, what?
Just
Dude,
constant.
I just told you, man.
Like
And he's
he
like,
asked what year it is at 1.2.
does he? Okay,
I think so, yeah.
yeah. So then, like, at this point, you're like, hey, what the fuck's going on? Like, and then the guy's walking away, and Mamiya is walking with him. And he asks him again, like, where are we? And this guy's like, dude, I just told you back there. Like, and it's so unsettling because, like, you don't know what is gonna happen. Like, do you trust this guy? Like, is something
Yeah.
bad gonna happen? And
We've
just
already,
like the suspense is like building.
yeah, because I mean, we've already seen a woman get her head bashed in and her artery slit, like, so we know that something's happening, but he seems innocent enough. It's just fucking weird.
Yeah, exactly. And for some reason, this guy decides to bring him home.
Yeah, met this weird guy on the beach, so I brought him home with
Has no idea who he is.
me.
And then he gets home, and Mamiya is like kind of, it's kind of like dark in here. And he is the guy, I forget what the guy's name is, but he's like asking him, like, what's your name? Like, he's like, I don't know. And like asking questions again. And he's like, well, I see on your shirt, it says Mamiya. Is that your name? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like asking about his wife and stuff like that. And then he goes into, actually, cuts back to Takabi. Fumi, his wife, is there. They kind of like have like a weird relationship. Like, obviously, he like works a lot, but then later on, you find it that she has cancer or some sort of sickness. And he like says, "Oh, we're going on a trip after like this case is done." And then, probably the most random and abrupt scene I've seen in a movie. So they're talking, and that cuts just a guy flying out a fucking window. Like, I was dying laughing.
Yeah, so it was I had to rewind it because I looked away for a split second and I
Yeah.
just saw this guy laying on the floor. I'm like, what did I miss?
Yeah. But like, he didn't like fly out, like, didn't like jump out, like, you know, like fall.
Yeah.
He like was like ass overhead, like
Yeah.
flying out the window. It's like, what the fuck? And then there's like all these like blood and feathers like in the bed.
Yeah. I didn't quite understand that.
Me either, unless it's just like from his pillow, maybe. Like the bedding was like had feathers in it.
Well, yeah, but like, who got stabbed? Was it him that got stabbed and then he threw him out the window?
Because he kills his wife, right? So
Oh, that's
is it the
right.
wife that gets thrown out?
No, it was him.
Oh, it was him, and he
Yeah, it was.
survived that.
Right, I guess he did survive, didn't he? But where'd the wife go?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did I miss that?
I don't think it showed,
No?
but
Okay. Yeah, because that bed was bloody.
yeah. So this is the guy that, wait, maybe it, did I skip over that then? But there's a scene when the guy is talking to Mamiya, and Mamiya goes into the kitchen
Yeah.
and turns the lights out, and then
Yeah.
like all these like oranges fall. And I gotta say, like, the guy that plays Mamiya is so fucking good, but he does nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
He does nothing in a very unsettling way.
Yeah. And he reminded me a bit of, this is maybe very random, but Heath Ledger's Joker a little
I
bit.
mean,
Like,
yeah. I can see it.
Like Joker isn't a strong, like he's a villain, but he's not like, I don't know, he's like low key dangerous, right? Like you don't think he could be dangerous,
Just very
but
manipulative.
there's just something, yeah, manipulative and like something about him, like psychologically, or like this guy's fucking scary.
Yeah. It's like
Whereas
you don't
like,
know what his next move's gonna be.
and then like throughout the whole movie, you see what Mamiya is doing, but he's still playing that like, I don't remember things. So like, is he actually not remember things, or is he just playing that to get into people's heads? Because you find out that like he's a former psych student and stuff. So like, he's like a pro in all of this, right? So like, is he pretending to not remember stuff to kind of get people to open up to him? Or so that's like kind of one thing about this movie that I is kind of unanswered for me, but like not like in a bad way. It's just like,
Yeah.
I think with more watches, it may kind of answer more questions.
I think he is doing it on purpose. Like that's
Yeah.
just my personal opinion.
Especially with Takibi, like later on in the movie, like it seems like
Yeah.
he's just fucking with him like
Oh yeah.
hardcore.
Yeah. He knows all the buttons to push.
But he's in the kitchen, like flicks a lighter, and then he starts talking to the guy, and like I don't know if I can find any of the quotes that he says in this, but some of the lines that he says are like so, I don't know, man. It's good. Oh, there's only one quote on IMDb. Never mind. And then he like flicks the lighter, and then you're like, what the fuck's this guy doing? So he killed his wife. He remembers doing it, but he doesn't remember the reason for doing it. And
And that's like, I've never been hypnotized before, but I know people that have, and they basically said like that the whole time that they were hypnotized, they knew what they were doing. They just had no control over it. Like they could see and visualize everything that was happening, but they just didn't have control of their body,
Yeah,
which is such a
exactly.
fucked up feeling. It's got to be, man.
Yeah, so and then also Sukuma, I believe, recommends what's Takibi's Fumi to go to the hospital for a bit, to kind of until this is all over, I think.
Well, he has a vision of her committing suicide too.
Who, Sukuma or
Takabi
Takabi?
comes home and the scene
Oh,
plays out like
yeah.
it's legit. And he comes into the kitchen and she's hanging there. And he like falls to his knees, he starts like bawling his eyes out, and it's like it seems like it's legit, and then all of a sudden the scene switches and it's a nice fucking sunny kitchen, and she's just like walking around in the kitchen, like cooking. And she's like, "What is wrong with you right now?" Because he's down on the floor crying.
Well, if
But
there's a few scenes like that that I didn't understand, like him seeing his wife, and then like a couple scenes where like him and his wife are in this like bus, but it looks like it's in the sky, like they're going on their trip.
yeah.
And it's like, what? I don't understand. Like, maybe that he's just losing his mind, right? Because at this point, there's been probably at least four murders, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know how long him and Sukuma have been on this case for, like,
Yeah.
right?
I really like that scene that you just mentioned, like where they're on a bus. 'Cause I don't know, it's just like a really intimate scene 'cause she's talking about how they're going on this trip and they're going to Okinawa. And they're gonna have such a great time and blah blah blah. And then he like, I don't know, he doesn't want to lie to her, so he's just like, "We're not going to Okinawa." And she's just like, "Yeah, I know." But it's just like, I don't know, man. There's just something about that scene. It was like so intimate, and you felt bad because they're going to the fucking mental hospital, and she's getting checked in. But it's just, yeah, I don't know.
So then we see a couple cops. They see a guy up on the roof. He jumps down, and it is Mamiya. He's in like this, they take him to like this police box thing. And again, like he's just sitting there, and He's pretending or saying he doesn't remember stuff. He keeps asking like, "Who are you?" And then one of the cops, he asks the cops if he can smoke, and one cop is like, "No, like we can't." And then the one cop, I think his name was Doiba or something weird like that. I don't
Oida or
know.
something.
Yeah, Oida, that's it. And then so he takes his cigarettes, but to smoke it, the other cop leaves for his shift. And then so Mamiya is like sitting there smoking and talking to the guy. And then Mamiya is like, "Oh, I'm gonna take a nap." And they're like, "What? This guy's so fucking weird, man." So he like goes over to like the desk and like lays his head down, turns the light out, and then he just like starts quietly talking and asking Oiba questions. And then he flicks the lighter, and he knows his name too, and he's never like the guy didn't say his name. And then I kind of caught into what's happening, and I think that like just kind of got me more excited, because like the first like I don't know like 45 minutes you're like, okay, what the fuck's happening? And then you're like, oh shit, this guy is fucking hypnotizing people to kill people. Like, there's not many movies that I know of where like that's kind of what the killer is, right?
He's almost like Charles Manson in a sense, right? Because like Manson never killed anybody, but he had all of his followers kill for him. But he's still considered like a serial killer, even though he didn't do any of the killings. So it's like the same kind of thing where he just does it through hypnotizing them.
Which I think is fucking sick.
Yeah, it's cool.
And like every time that he was trying to smoke or something, I was like, "Don't let him smoke, don't let him smoke." So Mamiya's getting checked out at the doctor's. And then Takabe said, asked Sukuma, like, "Hey, this may sound crazy, and I'm only saying this because it's you, but could it be hypnosis?" And you're like, shit. And then movie cuts to the next morning. The two cops are outside at the police box, and Oiba shoots the other cop from behind. So obviously, Mamiya hypnotized him. He drags him in there, and then we see later on that he had the X on his throat. Oh, there's one. IMDb has the very short version of this quote. I want to see if I can find the longer version of Mamiya talking to Takame or Takabe. So, Mamiya basically says, "All the things that were inside of me, now they're outside, and the inside of me is empty." And I think he goes on to say that I can see the inside of you or something like that. And also, this movie reminded me of Get Out a little bit with the hypnosis and stuff.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mamiya is with one of the nurses, and again, like, just the scenes with him are so like, there's not much happening, but it's just the way that his demeanor that he talks is just so scary, right? Like, and he asks to smoke, and she's like, "Oh, like you can't smoke in here." And he's like, "Okay, let me get a glass of water." So he like goes, fills up like this glass of water, and then he lets the glass fall, and the water trickle down. And he starts talking to her, and then she's looking at the water like trickling, and the camera is like just on the water, like kind of trickling down. And you're like, yo, this guy can fucking hypnotize people with water too, like just dripping water or anything. Like, this guy is so dialed into people's minds, it's insane. And he goes on and he's talking about how we're seeing now how like he gets people to like cut people, I think, because he is telling her like, oh, you went to so and so medical school, and you remember your first like assignment where you had to cut into like a cadaver, and the first time you had to cut into a person, a corpse, like, and it felt good to you, like you liked it, and you're like, what the fuck? And like, and he's like, yeah, how you want to cut a man open, like, because the way they look at you. And you're like, yo, this guy is crazy, man. And then he splashes water in her face and she wakes up. And then there's the giant X like on the wall beside her office. And oh, man.
Yeah, you see that X kind of all throughout. Like once you start knowing to look for it. How do you think he chooses the people that he wants to use? Like, obviously, there's been a couple situations, like with the cop and now with her, where he's just been kind of thrown into it. But like the guy
I
on the
don't
beach and
know.
like other shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like the more vulnerable people, like I don't know. Yeah. Because we find out later on that the reason why he's doing this is because he watched a video or something. I think it was like some killer way back then or some cult leader or something like that, I think, right? I don't know if I wrote his name down.
Charles Manson.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Mesmer.
Oh, right, Mesmer, yeah.
Yeah, this Mesmer guy who I think from what I got of it is like kind of like a cult leader, like murderer kind of guy. And I think that Mamiya kind of became infatuated with him as kind of like a he calls himself like kind of like a disciple like of him. What else? What did you think of the scene of Takabe and Sukuma interviewing the cop in the room? Because they end up using wait, was it then? Oh, I think before that, Takabe is talking to Mamiya, and Mamiya is trying to use the hypnosis on him, but I think like Takabe kind of knows, so he keeps like batting out away like the lighter or stuff like that. And then the cop is in there with him, and he's still like I think under Mamiya's spell a bit, but like kind of himself, because Takabe starts asking him questions, and the guy's like, oh, can I have water? And then he just goes up to like the cop in the corner, and the cop is like scared. He's like, whatever. And then Takabe's like, no, don't move. And the guy just like looks at him like weird, and then just fucking takes like a fork or something like that, and like draws a huge X on him. And like the guy, the cop in the corner, is just like, what the fuck is going on? And then Takabe asks him like, why'd you do that? And then he's like, I don't know. I just kind of felt like it.
So do you think that Mamiya is still controlling him and like kind of giving him a push to do this whole X thing, but there's nothing in the room that's sharp enough to do it.
Maybe.
So he just grabs whatever he can. And
Yeah, I don't
like
know.
he doesn't like he's kind of got like a fog over his eyes, so like he
Yeah.
doesn't know what he's grabbing. He's just grabbing something to do it.
And then we cut to a scene, guy walking into a bathroom. We see the ladies' bathroom to the right. The guy walks in the bathroom, and he walks in, and there's the doctor lady from earlier, and she is ripping a fucking man's face off.
I love the guy just like kind of stands there in the doorway.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't make any noise or
Yeah.
anything.
Yeah. That was so fucking violent and came out of left field.
And like very good practical effects.
Yeah, 'cause like it has like the X, but I think it was like a bit higher up on this guy because like his chin was exposed and she was just peeling his face back. I was like, "Oh man, that's fucking brutal." And the sink was full that was beside them. So I wonder if like Mamiya like was there with her or something and filled, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
So they end up finding Mamiya. He is locked away kind of in jail a little bit. Takabe is showing him all of the pictures of all of the killers and the victims, asking if they know him, and Mamiya is like not really saying anything. He asks to smoke, and like Takabe just loses his shit, like fucking trying to beat him up, and then Sukuma takes him out, and he's like, ah. And then Mamiya just comes up to the window, is looking, and Takabe just like takes the coffee and just throws it in his face.
I
Yeah,
like
at
that
this point,
scene.
Mamiya is like just full on fucking with him.
Oh, 100%. But I think he's trying to break him down. Because he's a
Definitely.
detective, right? So like his mind is strong, and I think he's just trying to break him down so that he can get him to that point that he needs him to be at.
Yeah, exactly. So I think at this point, the wife is in, Fumi is in the hospital, right?
Yeah.
So in this scene, Takabe comes home and he's trying to do his like his routine. Like he kind of gets ready, his wife has dinner ready for him. And then he like lifts up like a plate, and there's like a raw meat, and he just like fucking loses it. And yeah. And they're kind of looking at Mamiya. He has like a burn on his back. And like they say it was like something round and hot. Didn't really understand that. And it kept cutting to like this like blower, like fire blower thing, like two or three times. I didn't understand that really.
Yeah.
Was like a big machinery thing of like blowing flames. I
Yeah, I don't know.
don't know. So they are visiting Mamiya's apartment. The landlord there says, "Oh, I haven't saw him in 6 months. He paid a year's rent in advance." They get in there. There's like all these books on like personality disorder, animal magnetism, which I don't even know what the fuck that is.
She couldn't tell you.
But he has all these animals like locked up in cages.
Yeah, like we see a lot of monkeys and shit out of nowhere.
Oh shit. So Mesmer was a real fucking person.
Really?
So animal magnetism is an 18th century theory by Franz Mesmer that describes a universal invisible fluid that permeates all living things and can be manipulated to promote health. You believe that illnesses resulted from an imbalance of this magnetic fluid and could be treated by transferring it from one person to another using magnetic passes with the hands or wands. And the term later evolved to describe the persuasive power of certain individuals. And today, mesmerize refers to hypnotism. Like mesmer. That's fucking crazy.
Shit.
But why is it called animal magnetism? Is that just.
Well, wasn't one of the words magnetism like how they transfer it?
Yeah. Oh, it was the practice and theory of animal magnetism became known as mesmerism.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is.
And in this this house, you see like this fucking little ass monkey that's like tied to the shower head, which I've what the fuck
Man,
that
that's
was.
fucked.
It was,
It's
yeah.
like a mummified monkey, but it's like it looks like its limbs were tied up to something and then just kept getting twisted and twisted.
And so like we said already, we learned that the Mamiya is this former psychology student, and Takabe is getting weird thoughts. He see his wife dead, like he already said. And this is where we kind of learn about Mesmer from Mamiya. And at this point, Takabe is like lost his mind. He's going on about his wife and work to Mamiya, and he's saying that's all Mamiya's fault. He's trying to hypnotize him with the water, and Sukuma is telling Takabe not to talk to Mamiya anymore,
Yeah.
pretty much. And I think it's court, I think, that him and Mamiya go to, or some sort of like thing, because like they're in like, it didn't seem like a judge and jury, but it was like maybe like government workers or something like that.
It almost
But
looked like a
they're,
public court. Like
yeah.
if you were paying a fucking a parking ticket or a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how like they just line everybody up and it's like, okay, next, next.
Yeah.
That's what it
And
seemed
then
like.
and so it's like kind of quiet, and then like Mamiya is like talking to Takabe. He's going on about like, oh, you hear me, right? And like you can hear what I say.
Yeah.
But the way that Mamiya talks is so like quiet, and like it, yeah, it's just makes it that more kind of intimidating almost, because he's really good with words too.
Yeah,
And
he
then
is.
Takabe just like flips out and fucking pushes him into the wall, getting pissed off at him. Then there was a quick scene of Takabe getting in his dry cleaners, but they don't remember him dropping it off. Doesn't have his ticket, so he's definitely kind of losing it. And then Sukuma is showing him a video from 1898 or something like that of a lady in video, and she is like just sitting there on a bench, and like there's some guy that's like waving a hand, which obviously is that magnetism thing, right? And they treated her for hysteria. She later went on to murder her son. So do you think it was that animal magnetism, like mesmerizing her, that guy in the video, to go and kill her son? That's where it started.
I mean, it makes sense. That's what I would assume.
And there was a carving, or a cross in his neck. So that's kind of where it started, I think. Yeah, Sukuma is visiting Mamiya in jail. Somehow he got one of those monkeys in his jail cell. And I don't know. So Takabe, I think, goes to the jail cell, and he ends up leaving. I think Mamiya tells him that he is a missionary sent to propagate the ceremony, something like that. Oh, he's now with Sukuma in Sukuma's room. Sukuma's like acting all weird, and you see like the giant X on Sukuma's wall. And then Takabe asks him like, "What the heck's that?" Sukuma goes up and is trying to like rub it off. So, yeah, Sukuma. Do you think Sukuma was hypnotized by Mamiya?
Yeah, because he kills himself, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So I would assume so, because there's no other instances with him throughout the entire movie where you would where it suggests that
Yeah.
he's suicidal,
True.
and then
Yeah.
it's all of a sudden out of nowhere he
Yeah.
does.
Yeah. There's like all this like banging and stuff. You're like, is the fucking earthquake going on? And then it cuts up to Mamiya, and he's like breaking his chair on like the heater. And yeah, I don't know. I don't really understand that, why he was doing that. Maybe to get, oh, he's trying to break out, I think, right? Because the guard outside was dead.
Was he was handcuffed to the radiator, wasn't he? Is
Oh, was he?
that why he, because he was smashing his chair off the radiator.
Yeah.
So was he trying to break the handcuffs?
Oh, maybe, yeah. But Mamiya ends up getting away. And but you find out that Takabe let him get out of there, because I think at this point Takabe just wants to kill him. They end up at some place, and Mamiya is like trying to talk to him, do his thing. And I wish I had some of the quotes, because like there's some really good dialogue between Mamiya and Takabe. And just out of nowhere, Takabe shoots Mabia. And let me see if I can find it.
Before he dies, though, Mamiya does like an X in the air
Yeah.
in front of Takabe. I
Yeah.
thought that was really cool.
Oh, the all the things used to be inside of me, that's at the end of the movie, I think. Yeah, so he's doing like the his hands all bloody, he's doing like the X in front of him, and then Takami just shoots him like six times. And then he like ends up going into like this like room that has like a megaphone thing, and then there's like the some sort of like scripture, or I think it might be Mesmer talking, maybe like in the little like megaphone thing.
It's Bakuro.
Okay. Yeah, and then we get another quick scene of Takabe in like the bus with his wife. Which I don't really understand that whole thing, but yeah. That's pretty much it, except for one final scene. I do like the scene also of before this whole end scene, Takabe is like at a restaurant and he's like the camera's like kind of down on him, and he has like a full plate of food, and then the waitress comes up and she's like, "Oh, you're done with this?" He's like, "Yeah, take it away." And it's like a full plate of food. Then like has a smoke. And he's like obviously like down in the dumps. He's like fucking whatever. And then after all this, it cuts back to the same restaurant. His like plate is like licked clean and he's like all like happy, like, "Oh yeah, I'll get a tea or whatever." And they're like, "Cause guy's changed. Like his wife is in the psych hospital and like, but he killed Mamiya, right?" And so the waitress takes his plate, goes over, the camera is now following her, and she's like doing stuff, and then this lady comes up and says something to her in her ear. And then the nurse or the doctor, fuck, the
Waitress.
waitress walks over to somewhere and you see her walk back, she's holding a knife. And then fucking credits.
Cue the
And
credits,
you're like, God damn.
yeah. So even
It's...
in death, he's still getting them.
Yeah. So who do you think? So the lady who hypnotized the waitress, do you think that is someone that Mumia, wait, do we see the doc, the nurse, the doctor lady die? What happens? The guy,
Did we
yeah, the
see her
girl,
die?
well, she's in jail, obviously, because she ripped the man's face off, right? So that couldn't be her at the
Right.
end of the movie. So I wonder if Mamiya hypnotized someone else to kind of like, I don't know.
Maybe it is her, though. Maybe she got out.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe she hypnotized more people.
Yeah, possibly. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's the way the lighter fluid splashes.
Pull that one out of your ass.
Yeah.
All right. How did you rate this movie?
This one was kind of tough for me. I gave it a 4 out of 5. And like I said in my review on Letterboxd, I said like I feel like this will be a 20 out of 10 movie after two or three more watches. There's so much to like for this movie, but also like so many unanswered questions. I think so much like kind of like research I think I could do on it too. But the story I think is fantastic. I think the acting performances are really good. The way it was shot, the editing, just a great looking film. I love the score. It's only like 2 hours long, maybe not even 2 hours long. Yeah, I don't know, just very unsettling. Really good psychological horror. So, yeah, I'll go 4 out of 5.
All right. I struggled scoring this one.
Yeah.
I gave it 3.5.
Okay.
I was originally only going to give it a 3.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I don't know. It's not like I didn't like the movie. It's just like you kind of alluded to it too. Like it's just kind of confusing at times, and
A
like
little bit,
it's
yeah.
hard to follow. But I do think, like, I think it's like you said, it's a well-made movie in all aspects. It's just, I found myself really struggling to follow with it.
Yeah.
And that might have been, I don't know, I got shit going on at home, right? So it's just hard to focus on maybe a little bit, but I think like if I were able
Maybe.
to like sit down and like actually really focus on it, I think, yeah, I think it could be like a 4 or 4.5. But I'm definitely open to watching it again, especially now that I know it's on Criterion and I don't have to rent it again.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think it's a really well-made movie. It was just hard for me to follow, but it's definitely one of those ones that continuous watching will help out. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: mesmerizing, ha ha ha, and psychologically intriguing. That's all we have. So
I
have
mean,
fun.
I think this is a fairly highly rated movie. I know this is, I think it's Bong Joon-ho's favorite
I think I did see
movie.
that.
Oh man, because it came out like 97, so it was like,
Everybody said it's in Letterboxd top 250.
I know it is, but sometimes Letterboxd is way different than
That's true.
some. It's not an IMDb top 50, I know that. So, okay, I'll say 88.
94. That's on 65 reviews. And you're right smack dab in the middle of the audience and critics score. The audience gives it an 85% on 5,000 ratings and an average score of 4 out of 5 or an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Speaking of Letterboxd, what does it have?
Letterboxd has a 4.3 out of 5.
That's fucking high, man.
It is, yeah. And surprisingly, only 314,000 people have watched it on Letterboxd. I figured there'd be more than that.
Yeah.
Like I said, you gave it a 3.5. I gave it a 4. I don't know. Anthony gave it a 3.5. His reviews always kill me.
Anthony's?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Repeat after me. You're a strong, confident woman who does not need to smoke. Jensen gave it a 4 out of 5. Yeah, that's it. I'm surprised Nathan watches like every single movie we've seen, so I'm surprised that he hasn't logged us yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Oh, excuse me. Well, it's time for our scare section. What's that?
Was fucking that. I don't
Sounded like
know.
your phone
It's like,
vibrated in my ears.
oh, sorry. I'll give it a 5 out of 10. It's not
Okay.
scary, but very unsettling, and I think I'm gonna get this actor's name right. Just don't want to say fucking Mamiya. Masato Hajiwara. I thought he was fucking fantastic as this villain. Very unsettling, gory, I mean, for one scene at least.
Yeah.
So yeah. A lot of dread. So a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
And scariest scene, I'm gonna go with the first time we meet Mamiya. It's not a scary scene, it's just you don't know what is happening. Like, and I love this the way that this scene was shot. So you get them on the beach, and then they're walking, and like you get this like wide shot of them just walking on the beach beside each other, and you're like, this guy's gonna do something any minute. Like, he's gonna fucking stab him, he's gonna fucking do something.
I thought he was going to hit him
But
over the head with a rock.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
But it just, the camera pans, follows with them for like a couple minutes, and you're like, this is fucking gorgeous, but also unsettling, because like this fucking weird guy's on the beach, like, what is going on? So, I'll go with that scene.
Okay.
And would I survive? I got a 50-50 chance of being the one being hypnotized or the one that's fucking getting murdered, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think the ones that get hypnotized die too, though, don't they?
well, no, the husband was in the psych ward, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll survive, I guess. I don't know.
All right. I'm not sure if I've heard you die at all this season.
No, shut up.
All right. My scaring, I give it a 3 out of 10.
Right.
Like you've said it throughout the whole episode, it's unsettling, but it's not necessarily scary.
Yeah.
Scary scene. I'm gonna go with the Nicolas Cage, John Travolta face-off scene. Rip my face off. It's just it came out of nowhere, and it's really our only gory scene in the entire movie. And like, it's not gory, but like, it looks pretty fucking real, and you don't expect it at all.
Yeah, because like the X is on like the throats, like it's like, yeah, fucked up, but it's like almost like it's like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like real. Like it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. And would I survive? Like, if I'm in the situation, I'm gonna say no,
Yeah.
because I don't know. It just, yeah.
You're just weak-minded. It's
I
okay.
guess so, yeah. I don't know. I've never been hypnotized, but maybe I could fight back in my brain, but I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay, let's wrap this up. We are, like we, well, like I said at the start of this episode, this is our second last episode in Asia. So next, well, in 2 weeks, we're staying in Japan, and we're going to be talking about Godzilla Minus One.
Fuck yeah.
This was, like, spoiler alert, both of one of our favorite movies last year. You haven't watched it, you have 2 weeks, and we highly fucking recommend you watch this movie. But anyways, yeah, so this episode, one more for Asia, and then we are finishing the year off in Europe. Your homeland. Kinda.
I mean, technically, yeah.
Most people's, but yeah. Not mine, motherfucker. All right. Thanks for listening. And if you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. There's a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts where we're doing Hooptober until the end of October. So check it out, do your own list because it's a hell of a lot of fun. And yeah, there's our Discord server and all that fun shit. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you.
I'm fucking tired, man.
Me too. I'm fucking ready for bed. Talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Bye.